This morning, we are finishing up a series of lessons that were entitled Dealing with Messy Relationships. And I just want to from an overview, close out the series and then have Brother Bill come and teach the last lesson. I think if we were honest, all of us would say that at some point in our life, we've had a messy relationship. We're all human beings. Every now and then, we get self-centered, and so when two self-centered people sort of clash, it can mess up their relationship. And it not only affects the two people that are in the relationship, but if we're not careful, it affects those around us. And I'm sure, again, if you were honest with yourself, that you've either been involved in one of those or you've known about one of those and you've seen how it has affected other people around the two that might have the messy relationship. And I would just point out to you this morning that messy relationships are not pleasing to God. God has given us every relationship that we have in our life. Now, just stop and think about that for a minute. Every relationship that you have in your life, God has given to you. And he's given it to us for our mutual good. Our mutual good. He wants to use those relationships to strengthen us, to encourage us, to keep our life in balance, to add meaning and purpose to our life. And when our relationships are good, when our relationships are lived out the way God intended, again, it not only affects the two individuals that are involved, but it affects all the people that are around us. And so the lessons in this series have covered six traits that God calls us to have in every one of our relationships. And the author maintains that if we exhibit these six traits, that we can have good relationships, and if we have messy relationships, if we put these six traits into practice, we can get them better. So just let me remind you, we had a lesson on love. And the point of that lesson was that love ought to permeate every relationship that we have. We had a lesson on encouragement, and encouragement strengthens relationships. We had a lesson on forgiveness. Relationships grow deeper when forgiveness is practiced. We had a lesson on service, and we need to seize the opportunity to serve one another. That'll keep relationships stronger. And then last week, Bill taught us a lesson about yielding, about humbly placing the needs of others before our own. And then today, the lessons is on acceptance. Strong relationships are not hindered by differences of opinion. We will not agree on everything, okay? In fact, I'll just use the example. All of us here this morning have a little bit different opinion about the pandemic, about our response to the pandemic, about what we should do. So we all have different opinions. We need to remember that there's a difference between a conviction, a Bible-based conviction, a Bible teaching that's right, regardless of the circumstance, and an opinion. And I'll just put it in my own words. There's some things we're standing and fighting for, and there's others that are not. And if we fight for those things that don't make any difference, in all likelihood, we're going to mess up a relationship. So we need to accept the fact that not everybody will agree with us. Now, sometimes I have a tough time with that. They ought to agree with me, you know, I'm the pastor. We ought to accept the fact that not everybody will agree with us, but we can still have a strong relationship with that person. All right, so with that overview, I'm going to ask Brother Bill to come and teach today's lesson. And again, I'm so thankful that he's agreed to take the adult class. It has really been a help to me and will continue to be so in the future. All right, Brother Bill, God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Half the class is over. He'd already preached it. Praise be to God. We meet in God's house today. What an awesome meeting this is. Stepping into this church, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I see the friends that I love. I've never been in a church like this in my life. Nobody hates anybody else. Everybody loves. And that's what it is all about. Christians have always taken for granted that on Sunday we will meet in Christian fellowship in the house of the Lord. We have been deprived of that great pleasure for too long. But today we are in His house. Praise the Lord and welcome to all. We know that God is alive and well and continues His blessings for all of us. Thank you, Lord. The point of the lesson today is don't let differences of opinion damage your relationships. That bears repeating. Don't let differences of opinion damage your relationships. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts. We live in a troubled time. We live in a troubled world. Pandemics, riots, people thinking about self, people being evil. Evil is in the world. Satan is alive and well. And Lord, we know that we have Jesus Christ and we've read the book. We know who wins. We have eternal salvation and love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit to get us through this life. Be happy in the state that you are, because it's only temporary, and God's house awaits each and every one of us. Now, look at the beautiful day that we have. It is a symbol, a significance. There's not a cloud in the sky. And that's the way we should live our lives. Step forward in joy, because we have Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our scripture today is found in Romans 1 through 4, and verses 13 through 19. I'll read the scripture. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. No man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That puts a tremendous burden on us to set an example for all. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that In these things, service Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. Romans is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It was written by Paul in the winter of 57-58 AD on his third missionary journey while in Corinth. According to Haley's Bible commentary, his epistle to the Romans, and I quote, "His epistle to the Romans is Paul's completest explanation of the gospel." If you want to know what the gospel is all about in a hurry, get out Romans. Study it. I urge you to give it careful study because it has meaning to your life and it can change your life. Paul is writing to the capital of the world. He's writing to Rome. He knows that by writing to Rome, that what he's writing will spread throughout the known world at that time. It's a written explanation of the nature of the gospel of Christ. He was writing this letter to the Gentiles because he wanted to make sure that this account survived for the benefit of all Gentiles. And he wanted to make sure that the church at Rome got it right. Paul had not yet visited Rome. The church there was probably started by Romans who were present at Pentecost, Gentiles. The church was founded by Romans that had been saved and returned to Rome and its culture and its history. The Jews were expelled from Rome in 49 AD, but many returned as Christians with an entirely different culture and history than the Roman Christians. That is a very, very good condition for a messy relationship. At this time, many Jewish Christians held that to be a Christian, you had to be a Jew first. You had to follow the law of Moses, and you had to be circumcised. The law called upon works for salvation. This was in direct opposition to the teachings of Paul and the apostles, that the just shall live by faith. Haley's answer ends this argument. And I quote, "Man's standing before God depends not so much on what man has done or can do for himself as on what Christ has done for him. And therefore, Christ is entitled to the absolute and wholehearted allegiance and loyalty and devotion and obedience of every human being." Unquote. Paul was martyred in Rome 8 years after he wrote Romans. Verse by verse, Romans 14, starting verse 1. "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." These new Jews are coming into the Roman church, to Christ's church. And he says, receive them, but do not get into a bunch of doubtful arguments with them. Him that is weak, Paul's talking about the new Jewish Christians that are arriving in the church. Receive the weak in faith. And these are Jews that are trying to follow the law. But receive them. Show them the right way. But don't spend a whole lot of time arguing with them. And these doubtful disputations are arguments caused probably by different histories and different cultures. Petty arguments. Don't let differences of opinion damage relationships. The pastor was talking earlier about things worth arguing for. I have tried to live my life by standing on principles and the principles of the Bible. I will not compromise a principle, but an opinion is another matter. I was a politician, and I have cut many a deal with other people that differed from what I wanted initially, and I've had to compromise. Never a principle, never a problem about compromising an opinion. One believeth he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now, I got a real problem in my family. I got two daughters. One of them was cured by cancer because she followed the diets laid out in the Bible. And she thinks we should only eat what's in the Bible. But I read the part of the Bible that says everything is good. Amen. And I am testimony to that. One believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Jews believe to this day in clean and unclean foods. You have to be kosher. The gospel says in Acts 10, 13, 15, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice speaks unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, thou shalt not call common." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, now the shambles means the market. Whatsoever is sold in the market, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. Go ahead. It's all right. God has blessed it. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God created this creation for our benefit. He wanted us to live happy on this earth. And if that means having a steak after church on the grill, that's fine. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ and they bid you to go to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. It's okay. Don't get into a dispute. Don't create problems. Don't let differences of opinion damage relationships. But if any man sets unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But we shouldn't eat anything offered for idols. Now, common practice in those days, the pagans offered up food. And when it says meat, we're talking about food in the Bible. They offer food and meat for sacrifice to their pagan gods. Well, the priests would accept that sacrifice. They would then take it to the market and sell it. And that's how they got paid. That's how they made their living. It's part of their income. But God says, if you know it was a sacrifice to a pagan god, do not eat it. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. God accepted this person with their belief to be a Christian, to eternal life. Who are you to question that? That's really what he's saying. God does not want us to judge one another over food and over a lot of things. Let each follow one's own conscience and be led by the Scriptures. What does the Scripture say to you about that? I was raised Catholic. Couldn't eat meat on Friday. Could not eat meat on Friday. Went deer hunting. In my younger days, I was still in high school. We went out and shot a deer before deer season. And that was on Friday. What did we have for supper? Potatoes and venison. And that was it. Oh, I could smell it cooking. I could taste it going down. And I thought maybe they'd serve something else for me. They were Latter-day Saints. And they handed me potatoes without gravy or butter. We did not get into any kind of dispute. Should have. I ate leftovers the next day. Don't let differences of opinion spoil relationships. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. We are God's servant. The person you may be disputing with over some petty matter is God's servant. We should not question, because God will keep all of us from falling. Romans 14:13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother way. Now, a stumbling block is anything, any obstacle that is placed in someone else's way that they may fall. One of these silly, petty arguments can lead someone astray so that they are not an example as a Christian should be. And we are guilty if we cause that. Our judgment of others leads to confusion and petty arguments. Disturb the unity of the faith and make an entryway for Satan into the church. I know, verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Now, this is Paul speaking. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that eateth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If you, in good conscience, after reading the Bible, you think something is unclean, you should not eat it. Paul expresses his belief that no food is unclean by itself, but we should not partake if we think it is unclean, if it's a sin. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. If we prayerfully accept, it's okay. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, if thy brother be grieved with what you eat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat. Don't destroy him with what you eat. Don't try and impose your beliefs on somebody else over something this petty. That's what this verse is saying. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Christ died for that person, that if they believed, their sins would be forgiven. Don't put any stumbling blocks. Don't put any man-made arguments in that. Why do we have so many churches? Too many man-made arguments. Too many man-made disputes. Read the Bible. Follow God's word. That's what God wants us to do. Christ freed us from the law by dying on the cross. We don't get to heaven through works. We don't get to heaven by getting baptized, by going to church every Sunday, by tithing. We go to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. He is our personal Savior. Amen. That's all we need. That's all we need. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Your behavior is your reputation. Your behavior is your example to those that do not know Jesus, or to people that are just entering in as Christians. Avoid all appearances of evil. Be one of the lights of Jesus. For the kingdom of God, this is verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our meat, our drink. This is worldly. It's material. It's temporary. But righteousness, being right with God, peace, and the joy that the Holy Ghost provides is spiritual and eternal. Forever, you are His. And He is yours. Verse 18. For he that in these things, in the spiritual things, serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of man. These are the important things we should be thinking of. Not temporal things like the food we eat. Let us follow, therefore, after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Ephesians 3:17-21. I'm going to close with this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, the love of Christ that passes all understanding, to peace, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And if we're filled with all the fullness of God, we don't need to worry about a pandemic. We don't need to worry about the riots. I don't know if you realize what happened in Flint last evening. They were lined up, ready to protest, and all these peaceful protests across the nation, most of them are turning into terrible, terrible violent nights. The sheriff met with the leaders of the black protest and said, "What can we do?" And the black leaders, courageous black leaders, said, "March with us." The sheriff was in the front rank, marched with them. It was a peaceful rally. There was no violence in Genesee County last night. God leads the way. Put our eyes upon Jesus in every situation. Don't let differences of opinion get in the way of our salvation. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able, do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We have the Holy Spirit directing us. We have Jesus Christ with us, abiding in us. What power we have, we don't even think about the power that we have. We think about our weakness. Let Jesus take hold. Let him direct your life. Have the peace that passes all understanding in you, my friends. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you just thanking you for being in this house, for feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit, for seeing the smiles from our friends, the love that we share and enjoy. Oh, Lord, the day you have made is a symbol, not a cloud in the sky. Lord, we should walk accordingly. Be with those that are suffering, Lord. Help each and every one of them. But Lord, we all know. We've read the book. We know who wins. We are on heaven's path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends.